Of all the hate incidents that were tracked right after the election, more happened at schools than anywhere else. The Southern Poverty Law Center says hundreds of elementary, middle, and high schools around the country have seen incidents of hateful graffiti and worse. NPR's Tovia Smith reports that schools have been scrambling to respond to these incidents and prevent them.
The school incidents range from sophomoric stunts to seriously scary stuff. A hijab pulled off a Muslim student, physical fights with racial epithets flying, and violent threats. In Medway, Massachusetts, a video was going around showing a student holding a rifle, spewing the N-word and saying, "Kill 'em all."
Is that to social media, or did he send it to your child?
The hate hotline set up by Massachusetts Attorney General fielded calls from concerned parents about that incident, among others.
Yeah, okay. Has the school taken action?
But along with the anxious parents, schools themselves are calling with their own concerns about how to handle it all. As Attorney General Maura Healey puts it, when it comes to student behavior, there's right and there's wrong. But it's not always so clear what crosses the line legally.
You know, there is speech that may be ugly, that may be hateful, that may be harmful, that may nevertheless be protected in certain instances. And so schools have reached out to our office for assistance, and we are here to help them.
The high school in Attleboro called for help after finding pro-Trump graffiti in the boys' bathroom that included a warning about how the KKK would handle African Americans, again referred to by the N-word.
You know, this one was one that they don't teach you in administration 101 classes.
Bill Rooney is the high school principal.
There's no playbook for this one now.
Indeed, many schools are figuring it out as they go, often under enormous pressure and public outcry. Some have come under fire for failing to report incidents. Administrators say it's a delicate balance to be transparent without giving offenders undue attention or provoking copycats. But Massachusetts Teachers Association President Barbara Mattaloni says some schools bungle cases because their first instinct is to avoid making headlines.
I have seen administrators seem to want to run away from the issue. I think people are sort of back on their heels. They get caught up in a sense of, I'll take care of this, and that's troubling.
The high school in Stoughton recently took heat for being too soft on a student who hung a swastika at school and too tough on the teachers who spoke out about it. One teacher was suspended for 20 days after calling a college to withdraw her recommendation for the student. Teachers are allowed to revoke a recommendation, but there are strict rules about discussing student misconduct. Superintendent Marguerite Rizzi says the district takes very seriously student misconduct and student privacy.
It is a complicated balance, but I do have to step in and make sure that everyone's rights are protected, even a person who has engaged in behavior for which they are punished. There are still rights that they have.
As a school, Rizzi says, she also has to strike the right balance between punishing offenders and educating them.
You want somebody who's done something, let's say, really stupid at the age of 16 or 17, when they're 18, to look back on it and say, oh my God, I would never do that now, because they're going to be among us. And if they haven't learned something, then they're just angrier people when they come out than when they went in.
Okay, folks, showtime.
One of the gold standards in teaching tolerance is a program run by the Anti-Defamation League called A World of Difference.
We're going to do an exercise called Leading by Example, where
the number of schools asking for the program has jumped fivefold recently. One of those was Brookline High, that was hit with two incidents of racist and anti-Semitic graffiti. Now, 30 student volunteers are being trained to run tolerance workshops for their peers.
My name is Josh Gladstone. I am doing this program because I've seen many issues at the high school, and even though we attempt to have a couple of assemblies, I don't think it's enough.
Even in their left-leaning bubble, as some Brookline students call it, there's been an uptick in hate. Junior Talia Voss moved to town several years ago from Mexico.
The day after the election, I had yelled out to a friend of mine, "Hey, save me a seat," in Spanish. And a group of boys behind me, they started chanting, "Build a wall." And it is just these new social norms of how we treat each other.
Hate incidents can happen anywhere, and they do.
Phil Fogelman is ADL's New England Region Education Director. If there is a silver lining to the current spike in hate, he says, it's that so many more young people are now mobilizing to confront it.
Over time, it's just a matter of time before more and more people really create that firewall where it's just not going to be acceptable behaviors.
ADL's New England senior training consultant Rob Jones takes a slightly less sanguine view of it. He says many communities who need these kinds of programs the most are in denial.
Certain populations just won't talk about it because they don't get it. They don't get it. So they're like, we don't have any issues. But boy, they have a lot of bigoted behaviors.
At the other extreme, however, are the communities who see what's happening around them and are going to extremes to make sure they're not next.
If I were to sit in my office and wait for the first swastika, you know, drawn in one of our buildings, that would have been too late.
Salem Superintendent Margarita Ruiz says even though her schools have thus far been spared, she's called in the Attorney General's office to help explain to students what crosses the line so would-be victims are informed and would-be perpetrators are warned.
Unfortunately, adolescents do push the boundaries and test limits. So the one thing I don't want for any of our students in our district is to be able to say, I didn't know.
So, shoulder to shoulder.
Along with prevention.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Schools are also getting a crash course in the art of the healing response.
So folks, what I have here is a ball of yarn, and this is going to sort of connect us.
Students make what they call a web of unity in Brookline, where the graffiti was found. They also cleaned it up together to, quote, reclaim the space from hate. In Attleboro, students responded to their graffiti by sending love notes to the high school's 2,000 students and teachers. As schools endeavor to eradicate hate, they're also working to counter it with kindness. Tovia Smith, NPR News.